I'm really happy to be here at Thinking Digital again. Now forgive me, because I need to refer to my notes for this next bit, because I normally don't realise I'm doing this. So, in a moment, I'm going to play a short bit of an arabesque by Debussy. He's an amazing impressionist composer who painted pictures with sound, but before I do that, I'm going to let you into a secret. I don't normally show this bit. I'm going to show you what I do backstage to get into what I call a flow state. And the reason I have to go through my notes is that I don't realise I'm doing this. Okay, so I do this. Basically what I do, okay? let me explain as best I can what's going on inside my head. I'm priming all my senses to get as much input as possible. So how do I do this? I touch my hands together like this. I feel like there's electricity between my hands. I concentrate on how I'm part of a system that allows me to feel everything I need to feel in order to perform with power, with heart, and to enhance the energy exchange with the audience. You're welcome to try it right now, see if it works. It's kind of nice. Next, I breathe. I breathe to work out what I can smell. Now, last year, a study revealed that the human nose is capable of detecting 1 trillion different scents. That first cup of coffee in the morning, the new car smell, the toilets. Okay, now, it may not always smell fantastic, but for me, this step is so important. It places us in the real world so easily. Backstage in most places normally smells of wood, coffee, cleaning fluids, and old material. Right, the next thing I do is drink some water. That's what water looks like. I drink water to wake up my mouth and my throat. I actually really love this feeling. It's sipping, not gulping. I imagine each molecule pouring out of the bottle and into myself and quenching my thirst. Water as fuel, filling me with power. I try not to think about the fact that each of these molecules are quite dry because there's space between them, and that kind of messes me up a bit, so I try and avoid doing that. Okay, next up, I move my head left and right. By moving my head left and right, I get a real sense of where everything is positioned, sound-wise. We can only see what's in front of us, really, but we can hear 360 degrees. I'm not the most visually observant person, as many of you who know me will know, so I remind myself to look everywhere with these, with my ears. And then finally, I do this. I look down and then straight ahead. It's kind of like what I call a reset, because humans can see up to 10 million different colours. Now, I imagine at this point my vision becomes clearer, brighter, crisper. Sometimes being conscious of my vision, regardless of my ability to see, is enough to feel like I can see for miles. I relax. The last thing I do is I lean forward a little. I unconsciously just put a little tension in my stomach. I engage my stomach muscles. So to carry a perfect balance between tension and relaxation is the challenge. But if you get it and you feel that all of your inputs are on ready to receive, it feels fantastic. And then you can perform. If the pedal is in the right place, which it kind of is. There we go. All of that right, everything disappears. My conscious awareness goes, but I've turned up the volume on all of my inputs. I try to tap into everything available to give the best performance I can. For me, performing is a multi-sensory experience, which is what I'm going to talk to you all about today, with the help of technology, of course. Now, to do this multi-sensory thing all the time is frankly exhausting. It's very difficult for me to turn off that multi-sensory experience I'm talking about. I have something called synesthesia, which means my senses are mixed together. I have no choice but to smell the rush hour. But if you can experience things more deeply when you choose to, it's a fantastic way to remember things more effectively. For example, going to a firework display, it's not just about the loud bangs and the bright colours, it's the cold air. It's the warmth of the bonfire when you get near it, the crackle of wood, the smell of the fireworks, and the taste of unhealthy food. Touch, smell, and sound in particular have been proven to greatly contribute to the creation of memory. And that's why I think there's something powerful here. To create in more than one modality can leave an incredible impression. Now, we don't need technology to change our perception of reality. We have a device in our head, the brain, that does it all on its own. We see patterns in things. We see shapes in clouds. We see constellations in stars. We make patterns. That's what we do. But I'm going to next show you some multisensory experience examples that use technology, and hopefully I want to encourage you to think and create in a multi-sensory way by the time I'm finished with you. So example one, this is turning the mundane into art. Glitching is a technology I made as an experiment in audio augmented reality. It takes sound from real life and highlights the patterns using real-time sound processing. And then I live compose an extra layer of music over reality. It's great fun to perform. I've done it for 2 people. I've done it for 80 people. It's a real rush. I love that people are happy to change where they are placing their attention. And play with the world. They drop into a world where the trains play a tune and they can join in. Example number two, using variants to increase sensory acuity. Walking through a forest is restorative because it's effortlessly fascinating. It doesn't drain our attention. There's space for everything. Think about it, there's so many sounds and colours in a forest or in nature, but they work together. And that's really difficult to create artificially. I'm sure many of you will know how difficult it is. I've tried it. This is building a music installation. There's 86 tracks all playing all at once. It's not impossible, but it was very, very difficult to create that many, many sleepless nights. I'll come back to that. Okay, the next example. Example three, using senses traditionally excluded. This is the Itä-Neko project. It's an example of the tactile internet, the next step in communication. Professor Misha Dola and other people have said this. What this is a system that allows you to remotely communicate with your cat. The cat can actually scratch you as well. That's the thing, the device there is hiding a little sort of strimmer thing that scratches your hand when the cat is sufficiently annoyed to actually go for you. Now, it's quite hard to relate to what's happening here because you've just got the pictures, but I've tried it and the unexpected scratch very much feels like when a cat unexpectedly scratches you. So haptic and touch or force feedback, they are tricking us psychologically into feeling things as if they are real. This is happening already. Our brains are more than happy to fill in the gaps between virtual and real cat. What is the world coming?